Saga Egmont presents The Little Barn of Dreams by Lucy Knott. Read by Penny Scott Andrews. For JMK, and to creating the worlds we see in our heads, I love you beyond measure. 1. The room looked to be derelict. It was murky and drab, with strewn papers carpeting the floor. The air smelt musty, the place dark, with curtains that looked as though they hadn't been washed in decades. The young woman squinted for signs of life when she suddenly saw them, yellow diamond eyes glowing at her in the distance. She recognised the creature and knew any minute now the werewolf was sure to pounce and attack its prey. The girl would stand no chance. The werewolf would howl, she would scream, and no one would hear them. No one would save her. Suddenly, the girl's breathing began to get heavier. She struggled to get the air to fill her lungs as a racket and whirring reverberated around the room. Yet there were still no signs of life, besides the beast with whom she had just made eye contact. Heaven knows the room reeked of abandonment, like no one had stepped foot in it for centuries. Yet the noise grew louder. The girl squinted her eyes harder in search of another intruder. She held her breath. This time, a voice came loud and clear above the beeping, frustration and a slight anger in its tone. If she just ignored it, she could grab the chest and run. As the thought floated through her mind, the animal growled, a mean growl from somewhere deep in its disturbed belly. Could this be the last noise she would ever hear? Was this to be her final excursion? Her Nana had warned her about gallivanting off into the woods on her own, but being on her own didn't scare her. She was independent. She didn't need a friend to help her find adventure. She was plenty capable of finding it herself. She was a fearless warrior, she told herself, taking a tentative step towards the small chest. Yet now, an odd sensation swam around in her gut, which felt strangely like fear, as her forehead trickled with sweat and a human voice grew louder. The girl tried to squint harder in the pitch black, only resulting in her eyes closing, for they could not draw further into a straight line, as narrow as they already were. She could feel a warm breath tickle the tip of her nose. Oh, but she couldn't leave yet. Not after spotting the overturned chest in the corner, not when she was so close to retrieving it and learning what was inside. Trying to brave the formidable lurking creature and block out the distracting noises, she strained an arm to reach out, to lift the chest and make it hers.
Flo? Flo?
Wait a second. I knew her name. Whoever had come to steal the treasure too knew her name.
Oh, for the love of God, Florence!
The voice came again in a terrified, hushed whisper that packed some force and had the desired effect on its recipient. Because at the use of her full name, Florence lifted her head off her hand, snapped her elbows off her desk, and jolted upright in her seat.
What? Sorry, I mean, yes, that's me, she replied, blinking away the shadows of the dark room and fighting the strong urge to drift back into it,
to see what was hiding in the dusty and damp chest. Glancing over her shoulders to check for any signs of werewolves or beasts, Florence gave in and let her friend Olivia's face come into view, in addition to the neon lights and matching cubicles that made up her office. Olivia's face was a pretty one. It was round in shape, featuring green eyes, a button nose, and thin lips, which were currently pressed into a severe line. The green eyes were wide with concern, her chin pointing down, giving Florence a stern glare. Florence stared back, widening her blue eyes innocently. She was used to receiving this look from Olivia at least 3 times a day.
Your phone has been ringing for 5 minutes straight, Olivia informed her friend from across their shared cubicle, in which their computer screens were back to back,
their desks mirror images, except for the trinkets and frames displayed on Olivia's that were not present on Florence's side. Though Florence had been at Paper Chains for 5 years, she wasn't one for displaying family photos, allowing people to see her precious memories.
Oh,
Florence said as she picked up her phone. She put on her best Irish accent, along with her phone voice, and began her telephone narrative. This successfully caused her friend to crack a smile.